Would you turn with me, please, in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians. If you need a handout, would you just mind raising your hand? We got plenty of extras. All right. Can we get a couple ushers? Yep. Thanks, Billy and Greg. They would be glad to. If you need a handout and a prayer sheet, just raise your hand. Christian needs one. Brother Hunter, Ashley, we got a couple on this side. Don, thank you for handing those out. 1 Corinthians 13. As we look at the Word of God tonight, I want to just notice your outline there. It's a lesson 17 of our emotionally healthy discipleship, just picking up. It's been a little while. I believe our last one I have recorded was, I believe, April the 3rd. So it's been a little while with my sabbatical and whatnot, but we're just going to pick up where we left off. As a review, we're looking at seven marks total. We're on number 5 tonight, but let's look briefly here. What are the marks that we have looked at and studied of biblical discipleship that deeply transforms our lives? And let me just stop right there, because that's the goal. Amen. We're not about shallow Christianity. We're not just here to kind of play the act and, I got my little church on and then I get to do, I'm going to do whatever else I please. No, we really want to be followers of Jesus. We want to make an impact in this world and we want to be changed from within. It's not about putting on a show. It's not about me being just a consumer. It's about me being a disciple of Jesus Christ. And giving my life for His glory. We looked at, number one, be before you do. That's the idea of getting away from performance Christianity. That'll kill your Christianity. You'll get frustrated. It's not about just doing. It's about being with the Lord and allowing the doing to be a fruit of the being. And being with the Lord and having sweet fellowship with Him. One of the illustrations we have is a healthy marriage. Okay, when I'm with my wife and as we're married, my goal in loving her is not that she will just do things for me. Okay, I'm not doing things just to get something. I love her because I want to do things for her because I love her. You see the difference? I do things because I want to express that love. And that's the same thing we do for the Lord. We come to church, we read our Bibles, and we share the gospel, we spend time in prayer. Those things are all good. But I don't just do those things to check off a list. I do them because I just want to love my Lord. Amen? It's an expression of love. Number two, we followed the crucified, not the Americanized Jesus. Again, the Americanized Jesus is that consumer idea. Families and people are coming to church and saying, "Now, what do you have to offer me? What do I get out of this deal?" You know, like a country club mentality. Not really servant minded. It's not the crucified Jesus. It's not the cross discipleship that He teaches us, and we want that kind. We want to be able to get low with this world. We want to be able to meet them where they are. Not down our nose on them, you know what I mean? It's that we want to be able to deny ourselves, serve people that are unloving, and just really see the Lord glorified in our lives, because that's what Jesus did. He came to serve. He came to minister to this world. He washed the feet of the disciples in a great example there before He died on the cross. And He even washed the feet of the one that would betray Him, Judas. But nevertheless, that's what we want. Number three, we embrace God's limits, God's gifts of limits. That's so important, is it not? Remember, we talked about the two different types of limits. Does anybody, I know it's been a while, it's probably been a couple months since we were out on that one. Does anybody remember the two limits? Yes, Brother Christian? Yes. So those that we're supposed to stay inside of by humility, realizing I am limited, I'm not sovereign, I'm not God who is unlimited in His power, in His ability, His wisdom and knowledge. I'm limited and I need to realize to stay in my place. And I'm not, you know, the answer to all the world's problems. I'm limited. But then on the other side of it, there are limits that God does want us to break through by faith. And that is important. Like, in other words, the example I gave is when it comes to telling someone about Jesus. We can't say, well, God has told me that, you know, I'm limited. I can't really speak to people. Well, that's not a limit God's put on you and me. That's a limit we put on ourselves. And so we have to be willing to break through that by faith and obedience. Just saying, Lord, I want to go to the next level of Christian growth. I want to make progress. And we call it sanctification. And so we do that. The last one we got, we were in, was number four. We were to discover the treasures hidden and grief and loss. And that was a bit of a heavy topic, but it was nevertheless important. And that's the thing about Christianity. We don't avoid the heaviness of our faith. Sometimes it requires heavy seasons. And that's, quite frankly, if we're all honest in here, that's where we grow the most, is in the dark seasons that God brings us through. The roots get deeper. Our faith gets stronger because we are practicing our faith in God even though we can't see Him. Because that's one of the mottos of the Christian life, is it not? We walk by faith. And what? Let's say that together. We walk by faith and... All right? That's those tangible things that we can get a hold of and figure it all out. No, sometimes we can't get a hold of anything. I mean, it's... There's nothing to grab. It's like, God, Lord, I'm going to trust You right now. It's a lot easier said than done, isn't it? But we do grow deeply in our discipleship. In fact, when you come out of that season, you will be a more mature Christian when you walk through it believing. Then say when you walk through it perfectly, because there will be times in our weakness where we fell in our faith. I got to share this with you. This came to my mind. This is one of the things I studied on my sabbatical. I don't know how far we'll get in the lesson tonight, by the way. You know the faith where the man said, Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. We're familiar with that verse. And a point that I'd never had drawn out of that, seen it there, but one of the writers on that verse says, it takes faith to realize when you're struggling with unbelief. And you got to let that one get in and roll around a little bit. It does take a measure of faith to realize that you're not believing enough. Because the man said, Lord, I believe You can heal. But there was that lack of complete faith. And at least he was recognizing that, Lord, I am believing You. But boy, I should be believing You a lot more for who You are. And that's where we grow in our faith. Lord, I'm believing You, but Lord, I want to believe You even more. There's a lack there, Lord, that there's a little skepticism in my little flesh, Lord, that there's this issue that it's not going to be resolved. And boy, there's in that in all of us, but there should be that desire in every one of us that says, Lord, I believe and help my unbelief. I want to be a better believer. I want to believe better. Is that, and that takes faith to do that, because basically you're saying, Lord, I know I can trust You. It's not You're the problem, Lord. It's not You. It's my heart. Does that make sense? It's not You. You're not the problem, Lord. It's me. It's me lacking the faith. Yeah.
But when we can believe that God can, we just don't know if it will.
Sure. Right. No, and that's the. I will say this. I'm not sure exactly what you were saying right there, but if you're saying the fact that if we have doubt, that means we're just disbelieving God. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that in every one of us, there is none of us have a perfect faith. Can I just say it that way? None of us have an absolute perfect faith. We have a flesh that can doubt at times. But my point is that when it comes to walking with God, even when we don't feel like it, even when we don't have all the answers and the details, if we will trust God, He will work it out. And to Kathy, to what your point is, it may not work out the way we are thinking it's going to work out. But my point in this is, when it comes to deep discipleship, is that the reason they're called treasures is because they grow us deeper in love with God. We know Him more intimately. We're closer to Him as if we would not have known Him before. There's a different type of relationship. Can I say it like this? And I believe I'm in line. I believe it's possible for some of God's children to be closer to God than others. And that's not because God gives them some kind of special favor. He's no respecter of persons. But what we do is we can be as close to the Lord as we want to be. And I do believe, like with Jesus' disciples, remember He had several that just were closer to Him. I think of Peter, James, and John being with Him in several of those occasions where He brought them in a little closer. Not that He disliked some of the other disciples, but there was an intimacy there. And I'm thankful that the things that we go through, that God brings us through, is for the purpose of bringing us closer to our Lord and to hear His heartbeat. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for that. Then not only do we have here discover the treasures hidden in grief and loss, but let me briefly introduce number 5 tonight. It is that we as believers should make love the measure of spiritual maturity. A lot of times we fail to do that. We want to make other things the measure of our spiritual maturity. Your attendance, your church attendance is not the primary measure of your spiritual maturity. Even your Bible reading and your prayer life, those things are important. But I should ask you, first of all, number one, where is your love for the Lord and your love for those around you, your neighbor? That's what our Bible emphasizes. That's what Jesus emphasizes. He says that's the two greatest commandments, is to love the Lord thy God, and then also to love thy neighbor as thyself. So loving people well is a defining characteristic of a mature Christian. How are you maturing tonight? Where is your love for those that are unlovely? Let that be a measure. What about a love for your spouse? Love for your children? Love for your fellow church members? Love for your neighbor that maybe has mistreated you? Your love for others is going to be the measure of your spiritual maturity, because you cannot separate your love for people and your love for God. If you agree to that, would you say amen? That's what the Bible teaches. You cannot separate them. It is possible to have a profound dedication to God and a faith that can move mountains, but that such a faith is worth nothing without a deeply present love for people. And again, that's why I use some of the characteristics, some of the practices of Christians. That's why I bring those things up, because you can be doing some really good things. Normal disciplines of a Christian, which should be there. I never want to minimize those disciplines of praying, witnessing, sharing, giving, attending worship services. I never want to minimize that. But I tell you what, we're in big trouble if we do that without the love of God and the love of others in our heart. Notice 1 Corinthians 13. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. I want to read this. This is from Weiss, one of my commentaries I use. Weiss' expanded version is the one section. I think it's volume four. It's not a new translation. It's just an expanded version. And it gives more detailed words in there that would convey the Greek. But this is the way he puts it in the expanded version of what I just read. If in the languages of men I speak and the languages of the angels, but do not have love, he says this word love is that love that's produced in the heart of the yielded saint by the Holy Spirit, a love that impels one to deny himself for the sake of the loved one. He says, I have already become and at present am sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of uttering divine revelations and know all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and if I have all the faith so that I am able to keep on removing mountain after mountain, but am not possessing love, I am nothing. And if I use all my possessions to feed the poor and I deliver up my body as a martyr in order that I may glory, but do not have love, I am being profited in not even one thing. It's pretty clear there that we need to be people who are full of love. My belief from the Word of God is that if we are growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then our love for others should be increasing. Notice I said increasing. You know, we're never there. I loved enough this week. There's always room to love more. Amen. There's always room to love more and better, because the Lord is love. God is love. That's why he commended the Thessalonians. I don't have time to turn there tonight, but he said, man, I got to brag on you folks here for a minute. I get testimony that you are abounding in love more and more. He just was bragging on him. If I could put it in Georgia terms, you're the most lovingest crowd I've ever met in my life. You're just a bunch of loving people. I'd love for that to be our testimony. It's not that it would mean we don't preach truth and hold to the fundamentals of the faith. We don't apologize for that. We're not going to make excuse for sin. But I'm telling you what, we're going to make sure that we're a fervent, loving people for the glory of God. Love for others is inextricably linked to love for God. We must have it. In closing, would you look there in 1 John, there toward the end of your Bible, there right before Revelation. The book of Revelation, just flip back a couple pages. Notice 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. It says here, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, what is the next three words? Wow, that's an indictment right there. Because it says, for God is love. In other words, if you are not a believer who is seeking to love, letting God love through you, the Bible's saying you're not of God in the sense that you're not relating with God. You're not in fellowship with God. Now, my belief of 1 John is not a test of salvation. It's a test of sanctification, of fellowship with the Lord. And I believe that what it's saying here, look, if you're not currently loving, you're not in fellowship with God. But when you are in fellowship with God, God will love through you. And that's why you can have a zeal for Scripture, but remain defensive, judgmental, critical, and unapproachable. What is missing, church, when that happens? It's love. We all are guilty of being unloving. So I just encourage you tonight, as we close in prayer, I just want to be very careful how I say this, but don't measure your maturity in Christ by comparing yourself with others. That's super unhealthy. It's unbiblical. Don't measure the maturity of your Christian life with how much you read your Bible. And you may read it a lot, and if you do, praise God. Don't even measure it by how often you walk through those doors, which I hope you walk through them every time they're open. It's my prayer. I'm not diminishing that. But don't measure your Christianity, because I'm sure there are people who walk through those doors whose hearts, tragically, are far from God. What we want, what God wants, is for there to be a sincere love that only Jesus Christ can produce through the Holy Spirit filling your life and my life. That's the measure. Loving those that don't love you. Loving those around you. That's going to be obvious. And we're going to talk about ways that we can demonstrate that love in the future. There are a lot of ways that you can demonstrate it. But in my closing comment, one of the ways we demonstrate our love for others is being present with the people around us. And what I mean by being present is, it's kind of, I don't know, maybe a little bit cliche or whatnot, but the greatest present you can give people is your presence, your attention, your care. And a lot of times in our world, we're so preoccupied, and I'm guilty more than anybody. We're so preoccupied with what is going on in my life, of what we need to do. People around me are just objects. They're not real people with real burdens and real problems and real victories that want to be shared and expressed. How interested am I in them? And we'll talk about that and how important it is to show love by listening, by being present. You know how everybody looked at somebody and talked to somebody, and your mind is on something totally different? It can happen to any of us, right? And it takes discipline to show that you care. And it may be something that you don't really care about. who was it earlier? I think it was, what was Chloe trying to show me earlier at the table? Oh, it was something. She might have shown me how many Cheerios she spilled on the table. I don't know. But it reminded me, even coming tonight, it was something so insignificant, like, it's just ridiculous. Like, why you want to show me this? But I thought about it. You know, that's a picture of, you know what, even if something is insignificant to you, I believe a way that we can show the love of Jesus is to show care about it anyway. And to have a genuine love for what that person is working through. It might be an issue that seems like, that's no big deal. Just get over that. I mean, in your mind you're thinking, man, but really a genuine love will be very sympathetic and understanding and try to be a good listener. And, well, I tell you, we live in such a fast-paced world. That's something we got to practice in our deep discipleship. Let's be caring. Listening, be present. Let's pray. Father, thank you for, Lord, your word tonight on the reminder of the measure of our spiritual maturity certainly could be measured by our love for you and others. So I pray tonight there'd be a rekindling, a renewing of a love between your people, a love between your people and their enemies. Lord, love between our hearts and our neighbors, our spouses, our children. I pray we would be just a bunch of loving folks, Lord, that pour love on one another all the time. Oh, God, I can't work this up. Neither can anybody here. We don't want to work it up. We want it to be real. So help us tonight, Lord. Be yielded. And let us, Lord, now go forward in your power, loving just like you do. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.